Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning for this Monday, the 9th of May. Very nice to have you with us. And let me introduce our panel to you, and then we will get to the subjects at hand. WAMC's Alan Shartok is here. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm here. I was in the garden all weekend.
Working on the garden, getting it looking good, getting everything that's not supposed to be there out.
Those weeds can come up fast.
Yeah, they sure do, don't they? And especially with all the rain we've had.
Yeah.
A lot. Good. What are you planting this year?
I'm planting flowers. Not much on vegetables.
Annuals? More annuals?
No. More perennials. But every once in a while, an annual here, an annual there. Here, an annual there, an annual.
Everywhere an annual.
Very nice. Oddly enough, this is a coincidence, and I love when we can marry these things together, but Rich also spent all weekend in the garden.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
In the Madison Square Garden? With Joe Prococo.
There would probably be more likely.
Oh, which garden were you in? The Garden of Eden? The Garden of Churchill?
No, I went down on Sunday and visited my mom for Mother's Day.
That's very nice.
In Manhattan. Yeah, you're
on. Yes. That was a very
Manhattan. In Peter Cooper Village, right next to Stuyvesant.
I know it well because it's a short walk to Katz's.
Yes.
Well, Rich Honan is here, corporate attorney, and he is joining us this morning, and we thank you very much for that. Libby Post is with us as well.
Go right ahead, honey.
No, hold on. Libby Post is our political consultant.
Consultant.
And joins us each and every Monday, and we're thrilled to have you with us
Wednesdays.
On Monday.
Right.
And most Wednesdays. And we just want to remind people again that Rosemary's out, so stop thinking that we fired her. Okay. Let us begin with what is happening in the world and a lot of what's been going on. So there's this, you may know this, there's tension between Paul Ryan and Donald Trump.
Really?
I know.
You think?
So then apparently there's going to be a meeting on Thursday, which both sides sort of believe will accomplish nothing. But they're going to do it anyway, and hopefully something will come out of it. But Trump has said that he is going to stick very much to his message. Speaker Ryan says he will stay very much to his message. And now the question is, what will this do? And then Donald Trump got on the Sunday talk shows and said, basically warning Paul Ryan that... Look, I'm the one who's winning here.
I'm the man.
I'm the guy, and I don't even know if I want you to be the convention's chairman.
Yeah, and then Sarah Palin said that she was not sure that he should be reelected as speaker.
She said that he believed that he could be cantered, I believe.
Cantered.
Cantered. Somehow I don't think that that's the case, but...
Okay.
That,
so it is with that information that I leave it to you guys. The Mr. Trump's warning was his latest affront to Republicans who have urged him to adopt a more cooperative and unifying tone, and it amounted to an extraordinary escalation in tensions between the party's presumptive nominee and its highest-ranking office holder.
Okay, a couple of things here.
Yes.
First of all, Trump also this weekend made it clear he was sort of morphing into a Democrat. He wanted a higher minimum wage. He said he had changed his mind on that, and he can see that nobody can live on $7 something an hour. And so basically...
He's open on the minimum wage, but certainly for the tax hike, he thought that was...
Tax hike on the rich.
Yep.
He's for that.
Well, that's not exactly what he said. What he said was he proposed what he proposed, but he understands there's going to be negotiations in the budget process.
Well, what I read in one of the tabloids, whose name I will never use on the air, he did say that he didn't mind paying more, and he didn't mind, and he didn't think the rich would mind paying any more.
Well, that's where he sort of got it wrong.
Also, the other thing I heard was that he had made it somewhat definitive and said that I'm allowed to change my mind and I'm changing my mind in this.
Every day.
Well, there was an article that I read. Oh, it was in the New York Times in the opinion pages about how contradiction has been raised to a political art and people are getting used to it.
And they don't mind
the lack
it.
Of consistency. Yeah. Right. They're used to it. They think that that's what makes him so great. And we've become inured to the fact that we need facts. Mm-hmm. And so he can contradict himself all day long, whereas none of the other candidates can.
Well, Obama did a pretty good job contradicting himself without ever being called on it. I remember a couple of red lines that weren't red. I remember a health plan that he ridiculed when Hillary proposed it during the campaign, and then he rolled it out. I think it would be unrealistic for us to expect people confronted with big issues with lots of input not to have their thinking evolve.
Now, I agree with you on that. I want to get back to the Paul Ryan, because this certainly shows a rather large rift within the party, which I guess you were talking about on Friday.
Yeah, he ran against Trump's whole campaign was we elected a bunch of Republicans who did nothing that they said they were going to do, so I'm running against them. Would you expect the leader of the Republicans to unabashedly welcome that with open arms? No, he's got his own constituencies that he has to kind of bring together.
Yeah.
That's not surprising.
Yeah. Well, let me put it this way. Trump is Trump's own guy. If he loses his brand, Rich, if he loses his brand, he's nothing. So he can't now turn around and say, yeah, I'm going to be a more Republican if he does that. He loses the respect of the people who are following him, who shall go unnamed, because every time I name him, I get into trouble.
But Alan, he never held himself out to be a direct Republican. He never held himself out as
he ran in a Republican primary.
Well, he did, but he was. As we often said, on those few times when we actually get to issues on this campaign, he really comes out fairly moderate. Especially compared to other Republican candidates, he was called out for not being a conservative.
But he also wants to punish women for having abortions. He wants to roll back marriage equality. He's not all that liberal. It's interesting what you said about the contradiction stuff. Yes, candidates on one side or the other will disagree with each other in a primary, and then you take the best ideas that have come out of that primary. If you get elected president,
hopefully,
you act
yeah.
upon them. Okay, fine. He is contradicting himself every step of the way within the primary. When you run, you need to give people an idea, or at least thinking people an idea, of where you stand on issues. And his ability to contradict himself without being held accountable gives no one any idea of where he really stands
but
on
so
anything.
But so what? It's
well,
working.
Well, that's a problem.
It's working.
It is working, and that speaks to the dumbing down of America.
Oh, every time somebody, it's funny, liberals always roll out that if somebody disagrees with them, they're either stupid or they're racist.
No, it's not about
disagreeing with himself.
Wait,
I want to hear what he has to say.
I think he's actually stayed fairly consistent on the few issues that they've talked about. His big issues about immigration, his issues about trade, his issues about jobs, issues about being tough, whatever that might mean, and even his issues about limited engagements. He stood in, and I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that he stays consistent on some things. Yeah, he's a moving target on other things, but so is everybody else. It's just that he gets a lot less leeway than say an Obama or a Clinton when they do that.
He gets more leeway. Nobody holds him accountable.
Oh, everybody tries.
Yeah, but
he just brushes it off.
Well, the real question is, are people going to vote for somebody based on issues, or are they going to vote for him based on what they perceive as his character?
That's right.
And they like his character, and they like In Your Eye, Buster, and that I'm going to change just the way the guy in Levittown would change depending on the day of the week or whatever he saw. Democrats can win on Long Island. Republicans can win on Long Island. That's the way it is. They like that.
But it can't be surprising that Ryan has to— Ryan's in a difficult position, right?
An impossible position.
Well, no, we talked about this Friday. I think Ryan's handling it well. I think this meeting will be a first meeting. Then there'll be a couple of more meetings. And actually, the tougher both of them are, the better it'll be when they finally do their big kumbaya hug and, we're all going forward together.
Should he be the convention chairman?
Of course.
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be a kumbaya hug.
Of course there will.
Well, let me put it this way. I think, as Woodrow Wilson once said, there are going to be secret agreements secretly arrived at here in this little conference of them. And they may well come to some agreements that we will not know about.
Trump isn't big on secrets. You know, he's not big on keeping things close to the vest. It's kind of unfiltered.
I mean, right? They said there were going to be a meeting. They'd work it out. And then he spent the weekend kind of blasting Ryan, right? So, I mean, that's sort of what...
Well, I don't know if he blasted. Look, there's two numbers that are really important and that nobody talks about. One of them is 93 and one of them is 28. And 93 is 93% of the Republicans in the country voted for Mitt Romney. And he lost. So just winning the Republican Republicans doesn't make you president. The other number, the 28, is that's how few electoral votes the Democrats need to win the election. So all Trump is saying is things that the pundits have been saying forever, which is you can't win with just the Republican base. You have to go beyond that base and try and pull in others.
As proven this weekend when he starts talking about the need to raise the minimum wage.
I think all he said was he was open to it, and he was also talking about wage.
He's open to it. He said it's not enough to live on $7 an hour. That's what he said.
Okay.
So Lindsey Graham is not supporting Trump. Paul Ryan says not yet. Mitch McConnell says, yeah, okay, I guess.
None of the presidents are going. None of the Bushes are going. Romney's not going to the convention. None of them are going to come out and stump for him. Now, maybe he doesn't need them to come out and stump for him.
Well, listen, Romney, Ryan, McConnell, you know, what do they all have in common? They've all been blamed for having had Republicans
he will support him.
Yeah, of course he's going to. Yeah. You know, they all will when all said and done. Hey, I don't think the Bushes will, but no, they all will.
Hey, Rich, you got a letter from Michael.
Who already?
Said, I heard Rich once say the only thing that would cause him to vote for Trump is Cruz.
No,
Let me finish the letter. And the only thing to make him vote for Hillary is Trump. What happened?
No, I was passing. That is the quote, but I was passing that on from one of my friends because you said, you know, what are people thinking about Trump? This was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And somebody said that's what they said. And he has it right. I wasn't saying that speaking for me. There was nothing.
Okay.
Nothing that would make me vote for Hillary. Nothing.
Would you vote for Bernie?
If I wouldn't vote for Hillary, I certainly wouldn't vote for Bernie.
I think this came up on Friday as well, yes. Go ahead, Alan, more letters.
Okay. If you think there is not a general dumbing down of American population by both parties, parentheses, but I feel more so by the Republicans, then you are willingly blind and ignorant. I would go into specific examples, but then I would go over the text count. Love the show. Always glad to have Rich on to stretch my brain muscles some. Oh, and Jeffrey says, everyone talks about how, quote, they, the people, are supporting Trump. His attractive votes of 38% and the 21% of the Republicans who turned out for the primaries, that's just 8% of the Republican electorate, not to mention all the Democrats, independents, et cetera. Trump is constitutionally, his personal constitution, not the U.S. Constitution, unable to change due to his pathological narcissism. He sees crowds, his childish ego is being fed, and he thinks he's on the way to the presidency. He's blinded by his self-absorption.
Were we talking about Obama there, or were we talking about Trump?
I could say the exact same things about
Obama's narcissism as you say
narcissist.
About
Trump. What? Give me a break, come on.
You see a difference. I'm sorry, but you see a difference between what Donald Trump does versus do you believe that President Obama would do what Trump did over the weekend in picking a fight with Elizabeth Warren on Twitter?
I could see him
or his proxies picking a fight with his political enemies. I think Trump does it more directly, and he probably doesn't have the writers that Obama has. He just speaks for himself. But yeah, do I think Obama is
you think is, Obama is, goes into a crowd and works to that crowd and says things off?
Oh my. Are you telling me he doesn't? Oh. Are you telling me when he changes his cadence, his speaking cadence, when he speaks to one set of demographics and then he uses a different cadence when he speaks to another set of demographics?
That's just brilliant.
Who doesn't do that?
That's just brilliant.
Who doesn't do that?
And he does it so well.
You speak to your crowd.
You don't like it when he talks to blacks like a black preacher? Is that it?
Does that, that doesn't make any impression on you?
No, it means that he knows what he's doing and he knows how to work a crowd, just like just Trump knows how to work
a crowd. So aren't,
but the
so
thing
you're saying
is that
the same.
Obama doesn't go stoop to the levels of making fun of a disabled reporter. He doesn't stoop to the level of calling groups of people racists. He doesn't stoop to the level of saying we're going to track Muslims in this country and make this into a police state on par with a friend of ours in Germany. So no,
Obama has declared the only difference is the groups that Obama declares war on are all Americans. Obama declared on you know Republicans, on people who make money, on one percenters.
What? Because he wants the 1% to pay their fair share, so that the rest of us don't have to.
The 1% pay 80%. That's their fair share.
They don't pay. They pay, the 1% pay 80%. That only works in fundraising. The 20% pays 80% of the fundraising. The 1% does not pay their fair share.
Do the 1% pay 1%? They pay a lot more than that. We all know that.
They don't pay enough.
All right. So,
GE paid nothing.
And that includes you, Rich. Go ahead.
Okay, so we have about a minute, and let's just get to a couple more letters.
Okay,
so
we'll... Trump, please stay factual. I'm not a Republican, but Trump only said women should be punished for getting abortions if abortions were illegal.
I was going to point that out.
That is actually the only rational approach, and the anti-choice crowd wants to pretend they can make something illegal and not have women pay the price for it. Abortions are not illegal, and I don't think Trump would want to make them illegal, and that's from Ruth.
No, he's got his reasons for not wanting to make them illegal.
I don't think it's a major issue with him. I really don't. I think
he's pandering. The thing is this. Tony Perkins this past weekend is saying, we're not going to come out and from the Family Research Council. Huh. We're not going to come out and support Trump because he's not evangelical enough. He's not right wing enough. He doesn't pander to our politics.
The only
enough.
Question, Libby, right. is who will come out? And that's where they've that's the big question. So the New York Times, I mentioned it, has four scenarios in which Hillary will win and one in which she will lose, and that's when people vote for the other guy. It's that simple, right? Did I say you're in bed?
No, yeah. He's reading over your shoulder at the letters. Yeah. There are a lot of letters about Rich.
One says, read this on air.
Hold on. We got to take a break. We'll be right back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok, Rich Honan, Libby Post are here, and we welcome your letters. And so far, from what I see in the mail, is you're all just a little bit bitter today.
It's Monday.
That's right. So we will tackle some of those, and then we'll get into other topics. Go ahead, Alan.
Okay, so Jim says, Rich, the 1% paying more than 1% of taxes is a false argument. It is not the percentage of the tax liability that's the first issue. The 1% should be paying up to 80% taxes because they clutch 90% of total national income. That's their fair share should be based on their unfair income inequality. Well, all right.
But that's a reasonable argument.
Yeah.
What he's saying is you should be paying something based upon your percentage of the income. I buy that. You know, he's right.
Okay. So Jim, get out your checkbook. So Jim, having to listen to this guy talk on Roundtable was like reading the facile moronic political comments on Facebook. Enough. Aren't there any intelligent conservatives any more willing to speak in public, or are they being afraid as outed as socialists and Marxists? That's Jim from Del Mar. I'm going to tell you, I love Rich Honan, and I'm so glad he's here. And we're getting a lot of mail about how other people are here.
We need balance, and then we all get
beaten up here and there. Even I do. So that's funny. It's supposed to be funny. Al says about Libby, her presence makes the show intolerable. To her, if Trump rescued a child from a burning building, his motives would be suspect. She's bitter and angry person. Goodbye for today. Goodbye. And your guest, says Jamie, clearly demonstrates what it takes to support Donald Trump. A complete suspension of all rationality cloaked with a fanatical, irrational hatred of the president. Please continue your clueless rhetoric all the way to the election and your eventual crying of how the country let you down by electing a rational person to the White House. Of course, once we once again show our will as a nation, you will spend the next 8 years to find new ways to thwart getting anything done. Pat, how would this election cycle be in pre-Gary Hart era?
That's a really good question.
Yeah. That's a
really good question. Nice one, Pat.
I don't get it. Why?
Well, I mean, there is, was it Matt Bai who wrote the book on, there was a really good book that was written about the change that happened with Gary Hart of Follow Me and Monkey Business and right. Donna Rice, and that derailed his entire campaign. And now that's barely a blip on the radar. So what happened? And we're much more tolerant.
I don't know if we're much more tolerant, but we that remains to be seen. I think.
Oh, come on!
It certainly takes a lot more to move the needle.
I mean, look at this election cycle. It certainly takes a lot to move the needle.
Yeah. Well, Tony says, "Oh, come on, roundtable." Now I hate this because Rich has a perspective. Just so happens that the other three people sitting around the table don't happen to agree with Rich.
And the
first sentence is, oh, come on, roundtable. Give me a break. Obama is
blame that on me. That's not on the roundtable.
Par with Trump. The idea that one feels the need to run for office as president of the U.S. does not require does require some self-confidence. But Obama is not even in the same ballpark compared to Trump, who has the best words, the best people, et cetera, and his name in capitals on everything he touches. Okay. I've spoken with roughly 10 to 12 of my Republican friends, says Brian, dispersed throughout the United States. They typically vote Republican. All can convey that they will be voting for Hillary. Not ideal choice, but far better than Trump. As an independent, I will be doing the same. Thank you for your discussion and good work at WAMC. Would Trump ban Mr. Khan, the newly elected Muslim mayor of London, from visiting the U.S.? That's a good one.
He just might.
I might take Rich's 1% fair share comment, says Julius, our regular correspondent, more seriously if the 1% were honest enough to declare all of their income.
I declare all of mine. I'm just saying. Pay plenty of taxes on it.
And our very good friend, Laurel Massey, we all have different ways of speaking that we change according to the situation we're in. We do not address our boss the same way we talk to our best friend. Or, I'm just going to add this, the way we talk about our boss. You know what I mean? Mm. Okay. Some of us know we do it. Some of us don't know we do it, but we all do. President Obama is highly educated, African-American. He has a good ear for language and music, and he uses them. This is a gift, not a calculation. Thanks for the show and the feisty panel. Uh-huh. And like that. So today's show. Hello, I used to listen to your program every day. I stopped for more than one reading, including the Rich as a regular panel. Okay, so you're not listening today, and that's why you're writing us? Give me a break. And that's what I got for now, Joe.
Okay.
I'll tell you, if it wasn't for all the money, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, right. You know, it's really, it's just so lucrative.
God help us.
I'm just here for the coin.
God help us if we... Jonathan says, thank you. What a breath of fresh air to listen to the roundtable with the input of an individual with a different perspective. Oh, that's great. Says Jonathan. And Robert says, I'm with you guys, but it's refreshing to finally hear someone oppose you, even if he doesn't know what he's talking about.
All right. Let's get on to some other stuff and find out what else is making news here. I got to go down below the letters, and there are a lot of them, so it just takes me a minute. Let's talk. I don't want to get completely off Trump here because I do want to talk about the about John McCain. John McCain demands that Donald Trump make amends to veterans. Senator McCain of Arizona called on Donald Trump to make amends for his belittling comments about prisoners of war and suggested he would be unlikely to appear on a stage with Mr. Trump until that happened. Mr. McCain is committed to supporting Mr. Trump as the Republican nominee for president, but in an interview that aired on CNN's State of the Nation on Sunday, Mr. McCain expressed deep dismay at the tenor of the Republican presidential race, saying Mr. Trump should make amends to a body of American heroes he has offended. Mr. Trump mocked Mr. McCain last summer for having been captured and imprisoned during the Vietnam War, saying that he preferred, quote, people who were not captured. Mr. McCain, who was the Republican presidential nominee in 2008, told CNN that he was personally indifferent to Mr. Trump's ridicule, but that he could not abide the affront to veterans in general.
That's pretty well said, don't you think? And he also, and not only is it well said, but I think that he also, I don't know if Trump will take it, but he kind of offers Trump the platform, the off ramp, whatever you want to call it, to kind of come back and say, you know, I didn't mean the disrespect to veterans. I don't know that Trump will take that opportunity, but yeah. I think McCain gave him an opportunity.
But what a punch in the solar plexus for McCain! It was so unfair, and it was so stupid.
Of Trump
to do that.
Oh, yes.
I mean, really.
Yes.
Really.
Yes.
That was awful.
I mean, that's just indicative of how he treats people who he perceives as being weak. And, you know, we saw it with the disabled. We've seen it with lots of other groups. And it's, you know, we don't want a president who's a bully. And that's the issue here. You know,
well, you don't want a president who's a bully. There are people who want a president who's a bully.
Look, Putin doesn't do too well.
I heard this morning Putin has a 78% approval rating.
Because people are afraid to say they don't approve of him.
I don't know about that.
Well, if the definition of bullying is ridiculing people who disagree with you, then it's not just Trump who uses that.
I'm not talking about that. He ridicules John McCain because he got caught. He ridicules a disabled reporter. He, in public, makes fun of him. He ridicules other groups who are weak, that he perceives to be weaker than him. That's a schoolyard bully. That does not make for a president who has to deal with people on the international stage and has to be able to negotiate.
Look, there's no excuse. There's no, for the McCain comments, for the other comments, no one's, they're just wrong, absolutely unconditionally wrong. Nothing you could say about that. What I am saying, though, is there's more bullying that goes on. There's a reason they call it the bully pulpit, right? There's more bullying that goes on both sides than I think you would acknowledge. So when, for example, the president, Obama says, "Oh, I guess we're afraid of all those, of those orphans who are going to come across the border or something," on the morning of the Paris attacks, I think a lot of these public figures will resort to, I'll call it ridicule, name calling, whatever,
to win.
Yeah, I I'm not in any way, defending, some of the things Trump says. I'm just not. But you'd be unrealistic if you said that other people aren't doing the same thing, including the president, although in a more eloquent way.
Also, John McCain waited several months to make those comments. He waited eight months to make this.
And smartly so.
Yeah.
Closer to the election, it's going to be.
No, I think he waited.
The more damaging it will be.
John McCain was the first one. Remember, he came out and he said, listen, elections have consequences. And he said that and he abides by it. You have to respect that. I think he waited until he figured this part of the election was over, and he said, look, this has a consequence.
Well, he also said something the other day, which I think made everybody sit up and take notice, which was that he didn't know that he could win his senatorial seat in Arizona if Trump were the candidate. That's pretty hefty stuff.
Yes, that is. It's pretty scary for him. All I can say to you, Rich, is going back to what you said about the babies coming over on the border the morning of the attacks. Mm-hmm. I was in Paris the day of the attacks, and I don't think the president. What I think the president is saying is that there is a difference between vulnerable refugees, babies who die on a beach, which we all saw that picture, and people who are hell-bent on destroying our way of life no matter what. And they are few and far between. They just happen to make the headlines and they happen to kill a lot of people. And we can't lump everybody together. I said that the morning after the attacks when I got interviewed by one of the local media people here. We cannot lump all these folks together.
All the more reason why immigration should have been as it was said to have been during the 2008 election, why it should have been a priority.
Yeah, it should have, should have. But the fact of the matter
it did
is,
not,
and your Republican Party wasn't there.
I'm talking, Alan, the first 2 years, and you can talk to any immigration group. They They thought that Obama was going to work on immigration reform during those first 2 years when he had the House, when he had the Senate, when he had public opinion.
Oh, I see.
And he did, and he did nothing. So you can't blame the Republicans for that.
Okay, I see.
He had everything.
Well, he didn't have enough, what Libby is saying, in the Senate. But okay, but let's just say he didn't do enough in those first 2 years. They got it. Does that mean that time has stopped? That the Republicans didn't have a responsibility to move forward. There was a plan in place, and they didn't go for it.
No, wait, no. He suspended the plan, Alan.
No, by executive order, he suspended the bulk of it. That's not true. There was a group in the Senate and the House who came up with a plan, and he did not, and they would not put that through. They had the so-called Hastert rule in the House.
That's right.
Which meant that you had to have a clear majority of the majority in order to pass anything. Stupidest thing ever. And now look at what happened to Hastert.
Right. I was just about to say, now look where he is.
And that's where, you know, more leadership on all sides would have been helpful.
But it doesn't
change the fact that he made a decision as to priorities, and in the first 2 years when he owned all of the power there was to own, he did not make immigration a priority.
Well, he tried. You and I don't agree on that. We think he tried. We think he offered a roadmap, and I do. It didn't happen. There are a lot of things that can happen in a Senate which is divided, where you have to have 60 votes in order to move ahead. We all know that. Come on.
But the first 2 years were all Obamacare all the time. And that was a decision, and that's fine. But that shows where your priorities are.
Let us take a break. We will be back, and we'll continue our conversation and get more letters as well. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support comes from the Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. agstewardship.org. Adams Fairacre Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, and Wappinger. Fresh seafood, Hereford Beef, Farm Fresh Produce, local and imported cheeses, specialty groceries, adamsfarms.com. Albany Symphony, presenting Mahler's Symphony No. 2, Resurrection with Albany Pro Musica. Lucille Beer and Angela Vallone, this Saturday, 7:30 p.m. at the Palace Theater, albanysymphony.com. And from Unusual Wedding Rings and More, 137 North Street, downtown Pittsfield, announcing their retirement and store closing after 36 years. Public and private showings open Tuesday through Saturday, 413-236-9300 for appointments.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Shartok, Rich Honan, and Libby Post make up the group this morning. And we welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un announced the nation's first five-year economic plan in decades, saying the country must modernize, but giving no indication that he was planning market-style reforms to jumpstart the moribund state-dominated economy. In a speech broadcast on Sunday, Kim gave an overview of his priorities during the second day of the Workers' Party Congress, the highest level political gathering in the isolated one-party state. It is the first such meeting in 36 years, and it is seen as a major milestone for Kim in consolidating his rule and establishing a vision for going forward.
Why would anybody believe anything this nut job has to say about anything? He's going to pull a bunch of people into a room. Saddam Hussein used to do the same thing, and then he'd have them pulled out one by one. I never forget that film. It was really chilly. And his guys would come in and he'd pull one out after another and take them away to be shot. This guy's a nut. And nobody can believe this is a realigning anything.
No. If I read it correctly, the speech was 3 hours long.
Yeah, it was long.
Imagine being the guy who's yawning during that speech.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Or nodding off.
You're done. You are done.
That's tough.
Besides emphasizing the economy, he vowed that quote, as a responsible nuclear weapons state, our republic will not use a nuclear weapon unless its sovereignty is encroached upon by an aggressive hostile forces with nukes, as we have already declared.
So that means just looking at him the wrong way.
Yeah, well, no, that's right. And, you know, I mean,
that's what that means.
What this guy's saying, and here's what's scary. We don't know how paranoid he really is. So he says, I won't shoot first.
Yeah.
But we know that he's aiming all kinds of missiles so that they hit Japan. Now, you can imagine, you know, if he decides that, as you said before, Libby, that they look the wrong way at him, you know, or that he anticipates that they're going to do something. I keep thinking that this is going to end up in real nuclear disaster.
It's very scary.
It is. I mean, and just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. So, I mean, and he just he's a loose cannon with his finger on the big red button and...
Well, maybe
anything
the fact that
happen.
He has a 5-year plan now means that he's going to wait at least
five years.
So
we
can... How would you like to live? I mean, can you imagine projecting yourself into any citizen there and what they must have to eat in order to stay there?
Do you get a sense of why now? I mean, why a 5-year plan now after 36 years to come up with something?
Just confusing everybody. Just,
I think maybe it's a bid to, first of all, the guy's nuts, so I don't know. Okay, but if you asked us to give some kind of rational basis for it, it might be that he's looking around and saying, "Look, you know, if you kind of play nice a little, you know, if you play a little bit nice on the world stage and do some of the things that other leaders do, yeah, I don't know, maybe somebody comes in and does some kind of deal and releases the sanctions, you know.
He's done that before, and he never keeps his word.
Yeah. Well, there's that.
There's that. And then, of course, there's the big player here, and that's China. I mean, if you look at what they're talking about, a more liberalized economy, if that's the words he's using, this is something that China has excelled in and done very well with. And they may be just sitting down with him and saying, hey.
Yeah, you got to get with the program.
Yeah, and they're the ones he has to worry about, not us. He's already written us off. He hates us.
Yeah, but he wouldn't mind doing a deal with us that reduces the sanctions.
Well, he's done that before, and he doesn't keep his word.
Right, but if you ask me for other than him being crazy, I mean, if you ask me for a reason, that would be a legit reason to you know try and show that you are the part of the world order.
Well, and just on a side note,
listen, it's hard enough for me to try and explain Trump. Now you want me to explain this guy? It's difficult.
They just expelled a BBC team from North Korea.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. They were getting on the plane,
and they expelled them.
Then they arrested them.
Wow.
Then they expelled them.
Can you imagine that sense of relief when you're told you're just expelled?
Yeah. Right.
Wow. That's
okay. I'm not coming back.
Oh my.
Let the door hit me on the way out, please.
Yeah.
All right. We have about 3 minutes. Let's go to some letters, and we'll finish up that way.
MF wants to know, do you see any similarity between the North Korean leader and Mr. Trump?
I just said that. I just.
Okay. How can Dan, who's Dan, say Obama had a chance to get anything done when the Republican minority leader stated at the time their only purpose was to thwart the president in everything he might try to do? And
he's
Mitch
right.
McConnell
Dan was
certainly
wrong.
Did do that. I'm a little disappointed, says W.Y., in Rich's rhetorical approach this morning. Time and again today, his response to criticism of Trump or Republicans has been to deflect that criticism back to the Democrats. And then too much other words. Okay. And Michael says, the conversation was about Trump, Ryan, and the election. Why does Rich keep changing the subject to criticism of Obama? And then... Dan, maybe now, Dan. Great show. Highlights the fact that it's good to have diverse opinions. Not handled at all well. But then again, folks, that's entertainment. Stand your ground, Rich. It doesn't mean to bully, says Miguel, as antagonizes Rich suggests.
Oh, the bully pulpit.
Yeah, bully pulpit. Okay.
No, that's right.
We got that. Good morning, panel. I would like to address what people say on the campaign trail and what they do when installed in office. Simply look at the record of both Hillary Clinton and President Obama. They pretend populism when trying to gull the masses, then maintain the status quo and the narrow interests of the oligarchs once elected. Now, I don't have to agree with that, but it's a fair comment. It's a fair comment. Samantha, okay. Then also Samantha talks about the bully pulpit. and TR. And Rich is a good addition, says JC. Okay. And Robert says, why is Rich such an apologist for Trump? Sounds like he's spouting the slowly transforming Republican line. Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
I don't know. If that's the Republican line, then it is transforming far more slowly than I would think.
Okay. And Robert says, of Trump versus McCain, this is an interesting letter. A draft dodger, I assume he means Trump, mocks a decorated war hero because he was captured by the enemy. And Rich says the others do the same, just in nicer language. Really, be specific, Rich, or maybe just be honest and say there's no comparable rhetoric coming from the left.
I thought what I said was that Trump's remarks about Cain were indefensible and unconditionally wrong.
Janice says, so Rich is supporting Trump? Comment?
No comment.
Okay. Bill says, I am a lifelong Democrat. I love the roundtable panel segment. I don't agree with everything Rich says, but love hearing a different perspective. I wish there were even more voices. I think it would be beyond boring if the panel had only one point of view. I prefer when people mix it up and show some passion. Okay. And what?
Thank you, Rich.
Yeah, thank you, Rich. Thank you, Rich. Senator McCain, says John, is worried about his Republican primary opponent, thus the need, desperate desire to neutralize any conflict with Trump.
Interesting. Well, yeah. I wouldn't have thought that one, but that's an interesting take on it.
Well, you know, that's true. There's still that stuff going on in which the right wing challenges the middle.
Mm-hmm. We are out of time. Okay. But thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Yeah.
Alan, Rich, yep. Libby, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice to have you all here. Mm-hmm. We'll continue the discussion and the panel tomorrow, and the roundtable continues after this short break.